Want to also greet you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. Begin by also saying Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out here. It is a good day to celebrate, as was Mother's Day not too long ago. So if you'll remember at Mother's Day when I shared, I didn't specifically preach a message to the mothers. And I'm going to do the same thing today. Not specifically gear it towards the fathers, but towards all of us. When I talked about Mother's Day, I shared about my mom a bit. I'm going to take that freedom again this morning and talk about my dad for a little bit. My dad has been gone for a little over 3 years, and we do miss him. And I know quite a few of you here have your dads have going on. My dad was a busy man. He had a farm, a dairy farm. That's what I grew up on. He had a bakery where I spent a lot of time in. There were 7 of us children, and he kept us all busy. There was something for all of us to do. Some of the things I remember about my dad, I remember his love for softball. Dad was a very good softball player. And I remember him coming out and playing softball with us. I remember sitting in church playing with my dad's hands. His hands were calloused. They were loving hands. But they were also hands that made your bottom warm from time to time. He was a man that was loving, yet you didn't get away with a whole lot. Something I've shared before about my dad, if I couldn't find dad, I could normally go to his bedroom. He had a closet that was big enough to put a desk in. And if I couldn't find him, I could almost always guarantee dad's going to be in his closet reading his Bible. Nothing unusual to come home and see dad reading his Bible. Dad didn't come from a situation where he was taught about the Lord. But when he met the Lord, he met him. And he knew what it was to be born again. I remember a day when Dad was out in the barn. We had Holsteins because they produced good milk. We had a bull that was over 2,000 pounds. He was a very large bull. He was in a pen by himself. It was my job to feed the bull, but I didn't dare go inside that pen. There was a feed trough right outside, and he would stick his head through a hole to eat his food. But he also needed water. That was Dad's job. I remember a day when Dad went in to give this big old bull some water. And before he knew it, he was rolling across the stall on the floor with the bull behind him, pushing him. Dad never went in without something in his hand. That day he had a hammer. He found out that a hammer to the head of a bull does a lot of good. The bull backed up and shook his head, and as he was shaking his head, Dad got out. Things about my dad. Dad was one who was not scared to lend to others. I remember a time when he loaned out his battery charger, and it didn't come back. It was a long time, and us boys were like, Dad, you know where it's at. But he wouldn't. And later on, as I grew up and as I began reading scriptures and finding that what we have is really not ours anyhow. We give. The Old Testament says we give with open hands. It's a principle. Dad didn't go ask for that battery charge. He said, if we need to, we'll buy another one. But he was one that gave. We always had people coming through our home. I've shared some of that already. People that lived on our property. A biker that came through. That spent I'm thinking maybe a couple months at our house. This was after I was gone. But Dad befriended many, many people. He believed in Acts 1:8 that talks about receiving the power. Be sure to receive the power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. Dad witnessed wherever he could find a way to witness, because he loved his Savior. That's a picture of my dad. So now you have a small snapshot of my dad. And the fact is, none of you here, with the exception of a few people here, are related to my family. Some of you are long distance related, as we were looking here a while back. So there's no blood relation very close to my family. But I want to talk today about a father that connects us all. I'd like for you to go to Psalm 103. As I studied Psalm 103, I just gained a new appreciation for who my spiritual father is, who your spiritual father is. So I want to give you a small snapshot of our Heavenly Father. Here's the exciting thing. Maybe we don't have blood relation here this morning, but we have a connection. If you're a born-again believer, you have brothers and sisters sitting right here this morning. This is the beginning of an eternity, together as brothers and sisters. An eternity where we will be in the presence of our Father, never to leave. I don't know about you, but that gives me goosebumps. This psalm we're looking at, Psalm 103, is a psalm we're thinking maybe David wrote it when he was older. We're not sure, but that's kind of what it looks like. And I've titled my message this morning, Bless the Lord. This psalm is broke up into three different sections. Section 1 through 5, the psalmist talks about his personal experience of who God was to him in his life. And I find as we read through that, it kind of fits right in with who he is to us. Verse 6 through 19, talk about the attributes of God and how he relates or interacts with his people. Then verse 20 through 22, it seems like he's given an invitation here for all of us to join in with blessing. He begins the psalm with bless the Lord, and he ends the psalm with bless the Lord. I'd like to spend most of our time this morning on verse 1 through 5. We are going to read the whole psalm. But I'd like to spend most of our time in the first five verses. And we're going to just kind of tear them apart a little bit, and I do not have anything else for the overhead except for a closing slide. So if you want to follow along this morning, you will have to have your Bibles open or your phone lit up or something to follow along. Let's begin in verse 1. It says, Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. The psalmist here is bringing praise to God. I have to think, how do I praise God? How do I bless Him? Let's take it down to how do we bless each other here. So if I want to bless somebody this morning, the attention is going to leave me and it's going to go on somebody else. I'm going to turn my focus to honoring somebody else with blessing. This is what he was doing to the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I want to mention something here. This is not specifically tied in with this scripture. But something as I was studying, I feel like God is asking me to share just this little tidbit. When it comes to blessing the Lord, you will notice sometimes there's people here in this congregation that lift hands. Not everybody does, but some do. If you go through the book of Psalm and you go through, you will find there's a lot of places where he talks about lifting hands. You will look throughout the rest of the Old Testament, there's a lot of places where it talks about lifting hands. But that's Old Testament. Let's go to the New Testament. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. And this is in the context of Jesus giving himself for us and what we're doing in return. This is what he says. He says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. And I'm going to come back to the men part here. That's a masculine term. It means men. It's male. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. What's he telling us? What are we to do? Lift up holy hands. This is in prayer. Whether our prayer is in singing, or whether it's privately, or whether it's here. I want to encourage us as a congregation. Don't lift hands if your hands aren't clean. But if they are, that's what he's telling us. Lift holy hands. It's okay. It's okay if somebody looks at you a little bit cross-eyed. If you want to honor God and you want to bless him, that's what it says. But I challenge you to try this at home. Let's see where it goes from there. When you're in your time with the Lord and you want to bless him, lift your hands up to him. No, there's nothing spectacular about lifting your hands, but it is stated here. If we go a little bit further, we're not going to go there this morning. He talks to the ladies. That's in the same chapter. So we'll leave that for another time. Blessing, focusing on one another, focusing on God, showing compassion, speaking life. Blessing is actually a result of gratitude. I don't know if you ever thought about that. When I bless somebody, it's because I'm thankful. When I bless God, the psalmist here was very thankful for what was happening. Actually, it says, well, let's back up a little bit. Revelation 4, chapter 4, verse 11 says, Thou art worthy. This was the 24 elders when they fell before the throne. This is what they said. They said, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor, glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. They found out that He's worthy. That's why they blessed. Why do we bless? Is it out of, well, you know what, I think I have to because this psalm talks about blessing? Or is it because he's worthy? He is worthy. He really is. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And this is a cry that's coming deep within the heart of David. David has gone through so much in his life. He knows what it is to be forgiven, and we'll talk about that in just a bit here. But his blessing, his cry is coming from deep within. Inner praise from the created to the Creator. I believe that's a call we all have today. To bless. We have been created. We bless the one that has created us. I'm just going to be a little bit honest here this morning. Life happens, doesn't it? There's a lot going on. We go throughout our day and we forget. I'm as guilty as anybody. And instead of praising, we pick and tear apart. I believe God wants us to bless. I had to think about relationship as I get into the Word, as I seek God. Do I find relationship there as I seek Him? Is that relationship the same as it is when I walk out the door in the morning and I go to work? Is my relationship with the Father the same, or does it stop as I walk out that door and I say, that was for my devotional time? No, this relationship continues to go with us. He says in the next part of that verse, he says, and all that is within me bless his holy name. David sold out. Am I sold out? David held nothing back. His circumstances were not great throughout his life. And I have another confession to make. I remember a message that Harold preached about circumstances. That our circumstances should not control who we are. David here came from some horrible circumstances. But as he continued to hear the Father, it changed. What happens when my circumstances are turned upside down? Here's my confession. I had a couple of days this week where the circumstances weren't that great. Don't ask my wife about my attitude. You can. I had to struggle through some of those things. Did it mean that God left me in that area? No. He was right there. He was right there to help me come back, to come back to a place where I felt that fellowship again. See, the fact is, so many times we think when something happens in life and we don't sense that closeness, He's gone. He's not. He's right there with us. My circumstances should not have controlled how I felt. Who got in the way? Lynn did. Maybe you can say the same for yourself sometime along the way. Maybe you got in the way somewhere and the circumstance of life flipped you. Wasn't good. That happened for David. We say this prayer, "Hallowed be thy name." The word hallowed has the idea of greatly revered or honored. Do I do that just when I feel good? Or is that something that should happen in life? I believe it's something that should happen in life. But the fact of the matter is that all of us face difficulties in life. We really do. I'm not here to make excuses this morning. But I'm here to remind us that God has not left. He is here with us. And when we hit tough spots, He helps us back on track. Verse 2, he says, "Forget not all His benefits." Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. I like benefits. There's an amazing thing that happens in our household. I will sit at my chair and I'll have a glass of water or coffee sitting beside me on the stand beside me there. You figure this out, but sometimes I get up and I walk off and I leave it right there. One of the benefits in our household is that cup shows up in the cupboard, all washed and clean. I figured out how it happens. I have a good wife. We look at our wives sometimes. Guys, this is to us. Sometimes we look at our wives as a benefit to us. They are our helpers. But I think we need to be a little bit cautious. Happens with my socks, too. They're all folded and in the drawer where they should be. I am so thankful for my wife. But the psalmist here is saying, don't forget the benefits of life. We could name a lot of benefits this morning that we have. But let's see what the psalmist is talking about. Let's go to verse 3. "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities." All right, I think we need to back up a little bit. Where was David coming from? David was a man of war. David was a man who, he had power. He was a king. David was a man who sinned greatly. Not only did he commit a sexual sin, but he was guilty of murder. Trying to cover his sin, there was murder. What did David deserve? Nothing good. Do we deserve something good? Not at all. "And forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities." David was saying here, I repented. Nathan showed up and told him, David, it's you. He repented. And he says here, he forgives all my iniquities. I want to say something before we go to the next phrase. This psalm is a psalm of Hebrew poetry. Hebrew poetry has a couple of different ways of being used in the Psalms. Our English language doesn't always fit it too well. But Hebrew poetry will take one phrase out of a verse, and it may put a contrast into the next phrase. So you have a contrast from one to the other. Or it may have a phrase, and then the second phrase in the same verse may mean exactly the same thing, just worded a little bit different. I believe that's what he's doing here. Now I want to make sure that we understand, I believe in healing. Jesus is the same as he was many, many years ago. He hasn't changed. He's a man of miracles. If you don't believe that, start looking to the persecuted church. See what's happening. Because they need him. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Then the second phrase says, and who healeth all thy diseases. So we have in that first phrase, the iniquities is sin. So we got forgiveness happening for sin. Then the second phrase says, diseases. Diseases are a picture in the Old Testament. They were often connected with sin. So what's he telling us here in this verse? The healing is because of forgiveness. So there's a healing that happens because of sin that was there, because he sought the Lord. By the way, let's talk about forgiveness for a little bit. Romans 5, 6, and 7 say this. For when we were yet without strength. And I look at that and I believe he's talking there about before we were born. In due time, in God's perfect timing, Christ died for the ungodly. That's us. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, by chance, for a good man, some would even dare to die. Verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Before we came on the scene, his mercy, his love is so great in forgiveness that God sent his son to give his life, that someday we come to that place we can receive life. What makes me so sure that I'm forgiven? One of my favorite verses, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So he's saying that we confess, then he's faithful, he's just, and he will forgive. The last phrase he says there, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, I like to look at that as he takes the sin. And I want to make sure you understand, this is my own thinking here. He takes the sin and he removes it, and then he polishes that spot. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He makes it nice and clean. It's gone. So we confess and he's faithful and just. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. That's exactly the opposite. That one's not going to prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So that's the whole picture there of forgiveness and healing. Then we come to verse 4. He says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. The word destruction here has the idea of death. Or the pit. The pit referring to an everlasting hell. He redeems thy life from destruction. He brings us redemption. David understood what it was to have redemption. He sought the Lord. The Lord forgave him. Sorry, I lost my spot here. The Lord forgave him. His life was saved from destruction. Psalm 34, 21 and 22 say this: evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The word desolate here has the idea of being found guilty. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust him shall be desolate or found guilty. That's a beautiful thing. We have redemption through the blood that Jesus shed for us. What an amazing benefit. That's what David was talking about. He redeems our life from destruction. How about the phrase, "who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies"? The idea here of crowning is to encircle with protection. David knew this one really, really good. Saul would throw a spear at him. He was protected. He knew God was merciful and tender. Why did he know that? Because of his sin that he committed. And because of this, in verse 4, the redemption that happened for David, in the midst of all that redemption, he was safe. There was safety around him. I want to make a statement here about redemption. We don't believe in eternal security. We don't believe that once you're saved, you can live life as you want to. I do believe that we are eternally secure if we walk with Christ. That's very clear in Scripture. When he talks here about the redemption and the crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies is circling around, I believe he's telling us here that we are safe. We've been redeemed. We are safe because of his loving kindness and his tender mercies. I can't create that. Try as I may, I can't create redemption. It doesn't happen. It has to come through the Father. Let's go to verse 5. There he talks about satisfaction. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Did you ever have a time where you didn't eat for a while, and all of a sudden you started to become weak? Your legs didn't have strength? Maybe you had a sugar rush from donuts or cinnamon rolls, and all of a sudden it hit. The energy was gone. I look at this and I'm like, maybe this helps me understand this just a bit more. In our physical life, we eat and we find sustenance. We gain our strength back again. I believe that's how it is in our spiritual life too. There are times where we struggle, but he comes and he satisfies us with the good things. What are those good things? Connection with him. Finding a place where we pray and we seek his face and we commune. And he revitalizes us so much that he says, our youth is renewed like the eagles. I had to think of an eagle soaring way up high. Height does not bother them. And all of a sudden they come and they dive down into the lake and they catch a fish. And away they go, back up again. Strength, freedom. That's what he's telling us here. The Father is the one, through his Son Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, that brings us satisfaction in him. You know, there's so many of us in the world today that we are looking for satisfaction outside of this. We buy this, we buy that. We do this, we do that. Thinking there is some place that I can find where I will finally be satisfied. Does it work? What have you found? It doesn't. Eventually we need something else. But when it comes to seeking the Father, He brings us a sense of satisfaction, but we continue to seek Him in the midst of all that. We never get to a place where I've had enough now, I don't need more, I can live life. We continue to seek Him, and we continue to grow. Let's continue to read in verse 6. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. And then He comes back again in verse 8. And He starts talking again about the forgiveness and what happens with our sin. Verse 8, He says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. I think David realized the sin that I committed, I had no way out. But He is merciful, He's gracious. Then He says in verse 9, He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. I have taken that verse wrong so many times. I'm not 100% sure that I've totally got it. But I believe He's saying here, when we come to a place of repentance, we seek out God, we see His mercifulness, His grace. He doesn't hold our sin against us anymore. If we continue to read here, let's see what it says about that. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. What if God dealt with us according to our sin? None of us would be here this morning. We would have zero opportunity. You may sit here this morning, you look really, really good. But guess what? We all come from a place of living for self. We would have no opportunity. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. I don't know which heaven He's talking about here. We consider three heavens. We talk about the heavens that we can see. We see the heavens when it's dark. We see the stars. And then we also see the heavens or hear of the heavens where He's at. And I don't know which heavens He's talking about. Even if it's just the heavens that we can see, that's a long ways. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. I want to focus in on the word, two words there that fear Him. What is fear? Now I'm not talking about scared fear. I'm talking about what is fear of God? Somebody want to comment on that? What is fear of God? Extreme respect. Fear of doing wrong. John Bevere, who's a teacher, has taught for a long time. I love listening to his teaching. I was listening to him here the other day, and he began talking about something that was missing in his life. And he said what he found out was that he loved God, he served God, he walked with God, but he never really feared God. Like, what are you saying, John? And as I looked at that a little bit deeper, I found out that a fear of God is a holy reverence. I've got a question for us this morning. Please, this is not putting any of us down. I'm just asking myself, what kind of a reverence do I have for God? It only takes us a couple minutes being with somebody out there somewhere till we hear God's name used in vain. That is not a holy reverence of God. It doesn't take us very long to realize when we're talking with strangers, I have earned something in life. I am it. What I have, I did. Who's being honored? God blesses us. Oh, He does. But do I have a holy reverence relating to God as sovereign? I have a lot of growing to do. And I'm guessing all of us do. We relate to God because He is holy and sovereign. Psalm 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart
Be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth.
What comes out of my mouth is going to reflect what's inside. I can't see inside you. We can sit here and look perfect. We don't know. I want to share a little bit this morning. Time's moving on. I'll try to close here in just a little bit. When I mention the name Michael Tate, some of you are very disgusted this morning. Michael Tate sang with a group, can't remember the name, the Newsboys. About 3 weeks ago, Michael has ministered to many, many people, crowds of thousands. About 3 weeks ago, it came out that Michael Tate was sexually impure with other men. He was messed up in drugs. He was messed up in alcohol. He led a second life. My stomach turned. How can a man who talks about the Lord, sings about the Lord, be living that type of a lifestyle? Now hear me on this. My picture of Michael Tate changed when I read his letter to the public. 6 months ago, Michael Tate repented. He shared with the world where he's been, the filth that he's been in. Oh, the news is making it look like that's where he's still at. Michael Tate wrote a letter and he said, "This has been me. I am covering nothing up. I need help." And he sought help. Michael Tate is on his way back because he admitted, "I have lived in sin and I'm done. It's horrible." Why did my picture of Michael Tate change? Because he repented. From what I know, it's not because he got busted, but because he gave his heart to God. Because he was tired of living in sin, he needed out. Michael Tate sought help. You may hear different, and if you do, I'd like to know about it. But from what I read, the letter he read, he made absolutely no blames on nobody else. He brought everything back to his own feet. And he said, "I've been wrong. I've sinned." And his idea of having shared the gospel with many, many people in the second life was a big deal to him. And it should have been. But here's what I want us to know this morning. In reading, we didn't quite finish yet with the scripture here. Here's what I want us to know in reading this. He talks here about repentance. He talks here about what happens to our sin. Let's read. Verse 9, "He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He had not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, or has compassion on his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust, he knows us inside out, because he created us. As for man, his days are as grass," it's short, our lives are short, it's here and it's gone. "As a flower of the field, so he flourishes, for the wind passeth over it, and it's gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him." That's like a breath of fresh air coming in. and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. And now he comes to the last section here, where he is inviting everything to bless the Lord. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers, ye servants of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works. That's his creation. We are part of his creation. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. David was excited because of his forgiveness that he received. He was a man that did some horrible, horrible things. But he found forgiveness. And when he found forgiveness, he found out that there is life. And he blessed for that. Here's what I'll leave you with. Bless the Lord this week. Bless the Lord. Speak life to somebody. Find somebody you can talk to that you can bless. And then go and love deeply. That's what he calls us to do. We should be a people whom we leave here that we get blamed for being guilty of loving. That's who we are. Thank you so much for listening this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to pray. Ernie, maybe you have a chorus or something we can sing after we pray. God, thank you so much for this scripture. Thank you, Lord, for the life of David. Thank you for the example that we've seen in his heart. Lord, you even called him a man after your own heart. Lord, it gives us so much to look forward to, knowing that you take our sins, you remove them, they're gone. And Satan can't bring them back and say, this is you. But we can take Satan to the cross and tell him, no, that's where it was taken care of. We thank you, Lord, for that. We just want to bless you this morning. You are so good to us. Lord, as we leave here today, I pray that our hearts would be in tune with you, we'd hear you, and that our lives would be lived filled with love, spilling out to those all around us. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.